Joe was out on a much-needed vacation, so he's not here this morning, but Max Shirley of Authentic City is here, and so he's going to join me on the stage. I think Joe actually presided a sunrise service on the golf course this morning when he was on vacation. So, but we're so glad Max's here, and I want to pray for him, and then we'll turn it over to him, okay? Lord, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks again that you do sit on heaven's mercy seat. As your author of Hebrews says, Lord, that you're waiting for the time for your enemies to become a footstool. And that you are perfecting those of us who are being sanctified right now. And that's what we've just experienced. So I pray, God, that you would speak boldly through Mac this morning. Lord, that he would guide and lead us in your word. And Lord, we're so thankful that we are free. And we are free indeed because of your sacrifice on the cross. And it's in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning. We get the awesome privilege of being in here, in this very room, on Sunday nights as Authentic City, and it has been an amazing last 6 months that we've been meeting in here. We've just really loved it, and I'm so appreciative of your generosity and from Pastor Joe, his generosity, and I mean, what God is doing in the local church to continue to bring unity amongst believers and amongst churches and so incredible. And I was reminiscing that just it was back when Pastor Joe was starting at the rec center, and I used to live down the street from him, actually, when I was a kid at my parents' house, and they lived down the street from each other, and I would walk to his house in the morning and go and help him set up chairs at the rec center. And it's just it's crazy to see how full circle things will come, and the faithfulness of Pastor Joe and what it has done in the community, amongst students, amongst churches, amongst other pastors and prayer movements and all the things that have happened. So here's the thing, man. I'm so excited that we get to be part of what's happening through Crossroads, and that we get to be part of the generosity that's overflowing out of your leadership, out of you, out of your pastor's heart. And here's the thing. I know together we're seeing lives be transformed. We're seeing people be baptized. We're seeing healing happening. And so we're just excited for the fruit that we're seeing. And really, really, I would say we're seeing the impossible become possible, right, through the love of Jesus. And so it's been so good. So thank you for your flexibility. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you. And here's the thing. And tonight, we, for the first time, we are launching our second worship service tonight. And so we're going to be meeting at 5 and at 7 p.m. And so that's just crazy to think about in such a short amount of time. And we're so thankful for you that you've been sowing into us and helping make a way. And so I'm looking forward. We've been here. This is my wife over here, Lisette. Hey, baby. And we got some friends. We got some friends that are here with us from Authentic that are hanging out with us today, Michael and Benja and Victoria. And so we're excited to be here and looking forward to what God has. And we've been here twice to give some updates, but we haven't been able to really open up God's word together. And so I'm excited for what we have as we're just like exploring this idea of the local church and what that looks like. Last night I was at Chris and Kelsey's little surprise engagement party, all right? Yeah, so we had a fun time. Wow, they're engaged, and that's exciting and fun, and it was a surprise. But what I loved was getting to see all the different pockets of people that invest in them and support them kind of coming together. You know, and it was cool because they had a church family from Crossroads, right, that was there celebrating them. They had a church family from Authentic City that was there celebrating them. We're together celebrating. And here's what I know. I know God is continuing to say those that are wanting to be unified as the church, and not under a name, not under a brand, but as the church, like this is where Jesus is going. Those are the ones that God is, that he's blessing, that he's sending a life transformation, that great things are happening. So I'm happy that I kind of get to feel like I'm at home today, you know, because this is where we stand on Sunday nights. And so I'm in your house, but I'm just so thankful that you let us be in here, and I'm so excited for what God is doing. And as the church, when we come together, I mean, we should be the ones that are sending out really what people are hungry for. And as much as we have the opportunity to meet needs and to give towels and toothbrushes and water bottles as much as we have the opportunity to say, you know what, whatever walk of life you're from, you can come here and there's coffee and there's drinks and there's someone there and they want to serve you. And you know what, your kids can go here and you can come sit here. And you know what, we want to hang out during the week. We'd love to hang out with you. And we have Bible studies and prayer times, as much as all of that is the function of the church. And people are hungry for those things, and actually hungry. The thing that they're most hungry for is what we know the most about, and that's love. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might be able to taste in that love, and we might be able to know what is eternal life, what is relationship with the Father. And thus we get our first glimpse of what real love is. Not like, not infatuation, not hype, not energy, none of those things. I mean, they're all mixed together. Maybe that's a part of what love is, but none of those things alone are really what love is. It can't be manufactured. The world may try to sell it, and they may try to put it in magazines and say, if you go to this place and buy this ring or go get this car or whatever. But there's one source from where real love flows. And I want to explore that in our time today. And I want to give you some opportunity to declare that love, the love that is from God, over our lives today. That we might continue to walk in it. I mean, powerful time of worship. But here's the thing. We're leaving in a little bit. And we got 7 more days before we're coming back to worship together again. And God is not calling us to just come and sit in here. He's calling us to be active, to go out and to live out our faith and to be love, to be worship. So there is, let's fast forward back a few thousand years, and Jesus is standing there. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's leading the disciples. And you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, if you heard this kind of scenario before, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're out there and, you know, is this going to work, Josh? It's going to work, baby. They're out there and they're out here and they're stroking their beards. Like me and Ryan are stroking our beards, you know. And a lot of times people are like, yeah, you know, Mac, he's a short-bearded guy. So if you're around Ryan, you cannot no longer call me the bearded guy. I have a baby beard compared to him. But there they are, you know, the religious rulers and the scribes, and they're trying to trip up Jesus, and they think, what can we do to, you know, to get him off balance, to trip him up? And so they say, oh, hey, teacher, what's the greatest commandment of all? And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 37 and 39, he says, the greatest commandment of all is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second goes right through, no Mrs. Beat, just boom, right on. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know how disappointed they were. When they thought they had him, we're going to trip him up. Which one will he say? He'll probably say one, and we'll get to say, oh, what about this? And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that love would compel you to love the people that are around you. A lot of times, we receive the love of God. And we receive it in a way that it stops with us. But it's meant for so much more. The love of God is meant to transform our hearts and our minds. So, okay, here's the first declaration that I have for us. I have 3 declarations today that we're going to declare together, okay? We're going to declare them together. I'm going to give them to you as tools that during this week, the next week, the months, the days to come, whatever, you're going to have these declarations. So if you're taking notes, you're writing this down, you already got Matthew chapter 22. Here's my title this morning as we're getting into this before I give you the declaration. All right, you ready? It's I declare love. I declare love. So you're taking notes on your phone, you're writing them down because it helps you remember when you write it down. It's so powerful when your hand's doing this, your fingers are doing this. If you notice, if you haven't written anything in a long time, I don't like write a lot of things all the time. My hand gets so tired now. Like I'll write like 3 or 4 words, I'm like, what is going on? It's gonna have me do my hand exercises. These are very important, Mr. Rose. I learned these at Camp Thurman. These are, if you went to Camp Thurman, you probably did these. See how good I am at them? I can do them. Well, I'll just stop there. it's important not just that we have things in here. It's important that we declare them outwardly. It's important that we write them down, right? So they begin to manifest. They begin to really have their way in our life. So here's our first one, our declaration. Here's my declaration. God, I love you with all I got. Taking notes, write that down, because here's the thing. God is calling us to the greatest commandment of all, which is to love him with our heart, with our soul, and with our mind. And that's all I've got. And so I love God with all I got. And so when I'm in a moment and I don't feel like I have God's love inside of me, I don't feel like, you know, all ooey gooey with God, because here's the thing, there's some hard things happening. I'm watching them on TV. I'm watching them in my life. I'm watching them in the people around me. And I'm just not feeling like, God, I love you so much. Everything's good. But I have to declare it. And there's some people that came here today that maybe you're like me. And you need to declare it so that your mind and your heart and your soul continues to believe it. So I'm wondering, I'm going to give us all an opportunity to declare, God, I love you with all I got. But is there anybody that needs to declare that this morning? Anybody? Like, you know what? It's no shame. It's like, you love Jesus, okay. But anybody needs to declare that this morning? God, I love you with all I got. Declare it. God, I love you with all I got. Go ahead. You don't need the mic. Just say it.
God, I love you with all I got.
That's right. Anybody else needs to declare it this morning? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. My wife right here. You don't need the mic. Go. That's right. God, I love you. Here's the thing. You're going to walk into moments this week, and you're going to need that declaration. God, I love you with all I got. Let's declare it together. I'm going to say it. You're going to say it right after me. You ready? God, I love you with all I got.
God, I love you with all I got.
Muscle memory, man. You got to say it sometimes. You got to write it down sometimes, because your actions aren't matching what you know your heart wants to believe, what you know you want to follow through. God gave, we just sang about it. God pouring out his love for us. In the wholeness of his love, he gave a fullness out. He held nothing back from us. And then it comes to us, and we receive it, and we're excited. You know what? And then it just stops right there, like I was saying earlier. But he didn't just give us, the second commandment was right there. He didn't just give us love that it would stop with us, that we would know God. We would know God, and it would transform our life. And then what? And then we would love people, right? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, if you haven't read 1 John, it's a short little book in the back of the Bible. You could write this down and go back and read that later. It's a good, powerful book, just tons of little nuggets just over and over that are in there. In 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them," talking about the world, "for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." In the verses right before this, in 1 John, it's breaking down that God is love, and when you abide in God, he abides in you. We see this also in the Gospel of John as well. And so when we hear that God is in us, and what is in us is greater than what is in the world, we have to remember that the force that is in us is not just a force of authority. It's not just a force of righteousness, because we're made righteous by Christ. This is a force of love. This is a force of what everyone, whether they know it or not, is hungry, and they're out there and they're looking for it in relationships, and they're looking for it in how they spend their money, and they're looking for it in the church, and they're looking for it in the school systems, and it's inside you, that greatness and that love, and all you have to say is, "Here it is. I have it. I have what you need." "What do you mean you have what I need? Let me show you what I have." "It's what you need." "What? Let me show you. I can give it to you. Here's the check of what you need. I can afford this, and you have lack, and I have need. Here we go. Let me show you what you need. You need help moving. Here I am. I'm the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. I am the love of Christ. I will show up, and I will help you move. You're looking like you're down. I can give you a hug. I can encourage you. I can speak life into you. I can read God's word to you. I can pray for you. I have what you need." We all have this. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, we have this love that is inside of us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15 through 17, just a little bonus. I don't think I have slides for this one. Me and my wife were walking around the park yesterday, and we were at Veterans Park over here. We meet on Saturday mornings with our church, and we have a prayer time. We walk around the park, and we pray for our city. We pray for you. We pray for Authentic City. We pray for all the churches in the area that God will continue to bring forth new life in people. And we're walking around, and we're praying, and she started saying this verse, and it reminded me of this and what we're teaching about today. And it's this time after Jesus has come. He's been with the disciples. He died on the cross. They thought he was dead. He resurrected. And Jesus calls over some of the disciples, and Peter's there. And he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Oh, Lord, you know that I love you." And he says, "Feed my sheep." Peter probably nods his head. Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter says. You know that I love you." He says, "Feed my lambs." They're sitting there. Peter's like, "Man, he asked me twice. What's that?" Looking around. Jesus says a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He says, "Feed my sheep." The Word of God says, in John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, "They will know you by your love." A lot of people are trying to be known different ways. Oh yeah, we're going to know that guy because he has a beard. We're going to know this guy because he, you know, dresses in those clothes. We're going to know this guy because that's the place he works. We're going to know this girl because that's who she hangs out with. We're going to know this person because that's the kind of stuff they say. We want them to know us because we go to church. We want them to know us because how much we love God even. That's not how the world is going to know. Do you know how many gods there are out there that you can love and be devoted to? Do you know how many religions are out there, people that are serving gods that do not exist, that they are sold out to? They love their fake god. That's not how we're set apart, by our devotion to God. That's not it. We're set apart by how we love the people that are around us. That is how we're set apart. And so, yes, we want to declare, "God, I love you with all I got." But we also have to declare, "People, I love you all the time." Because it's easier for me sometimes, even though I mess up in both ways, it's easier for me sometimes to love a God that is perfect and unfailing than it is to love people. Because people are imperfect and failing. And lots of times, I'm just being honest, you may be different than this. Lots of times, I have expectations for them that I set for them, both spoken and unspoken, some fair and some not, and they miss those expectations. They don't meet them. I count on people to show up, and there are times they don't show up. And I count on them to do the right things. People I know well, people I don't know well, and they don't do the right things. And yet, I'm supposed to love them. I'm called to be love to them. This means the person that is in front of you in line at the grocery store this week, and you got one item, just one, and you walked all the lines looking for where's the shortest, and you finally found, oh, this one right here. This lady only has six items, okay. And they're doing the couponing thing. You know, and they're like, hold on, let me get my coupons. Everyone got one on my shoe here. I got six on my phone. How does this thing work? Does someone have what's the password to my phone? And like, they're trying to figure, and you're like, I got one item. How about this? You move out of the way. Yes, this is the person that you're supposed to love. The person you're driving down the road and they just slam on the brakes for no reason. And you're like, come on, man, what are you doing? The person that's totally not paying attention, I hope this is not you, and you drive by them and you're like, what are they doing? Almost hit me, what are they doing? And you see them, they're doing this. It's like, you're in a car, in the driver's seat. What are you doing? Look at the road. Yes, those people. Those are the people you're called to love. Your family that knows exactly where your buttons are and which ones to push right at the right time and intentionally, sometimes, will push them and set you off. Those are the people that you're called to love. Not some people, some of the time. All the people, all the time. So is there anybody out there that you need to declare over your life, people, I love you all the time? Anybody? Declaration brings freedom. This is why we say, if you confess with your heart and believe with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Okay, declare it. People, I love you all the time.
People, I love you all the time.
There you go. Who else? Who else? Everybody else? Praise God, yes. Who else? There we go. Go ahead. People, I love you all the time. If we cannot declare it amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ that are spurring us on to love, how it will even be possible when we come to the moment where we cross, do I love or do I not love? How will we do it then? If we haven't woken up that morning, declaring it over our life, God, I love you with all I got. People, I love you all the time. God, I love you with all I got. People, I love you all the time. This is the way. This is the way we walk in it. We take the word of God, and we put it on our minds, that we would meditate on it day and night. And all this is doing is making it simpler so you can say it and declare it over your life. So you can meditate on it day and night. And there will be things. There will be things that they shouldn't, but they stop us from love. And we're imperfect and we mess up. And bills will come. And payments are due. And life will happen, and arguments happen, and spouses will retaliate, and kids will act up, and schools will call. Stress may get high. And these things will cause, they'll come in, and they'll try to stop us from the one thing that is calling us to be set apart. But you know what else will come in? Life, sure, yeah. Busyness, chaos, all of it. A fallen world, all of those things. You know what else? The enemy will come in, and he will do everything he can to distort your view of love and to stop you from loving God and people. He will come in like a thief in the night, and he will rob you of your joy, and he will rob you of your peace so that your tensions and your stress will go high and you'll begin to no longer feel like you can love well or receive love well. And so we have to be ready. You cannot pretend that if you wake up tomorrow and you truly step out of bed and put your feet on the ground and you say, God, I will love you with all I got. People, I will love you all the time. And you go walk around the corner of your bed and you go into the bathroom and you start brushing your teeth and you say, you know, you mumble with your toothbrush in your mouth. And you start saying that and you aim to leave the house with that on your mind. Do not think for one second that your advancement will not come with attack. It will. The enemy will try to derail you, try to attack you. And so we have to be on guard and be ready. But the very thing, the weapon that you have that he is trying to disarm you with is the very weapon that disarms the enemy. And you have to declare in those moments, enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. And you know why my love destroys your strongholds, enemy? Because my love is God's love. That's the only love I have. Everything else is like, everything else is infatuation, everything else is emotion, it is feeling, but love goes beyond all of those things. And once I have that, I have the love of God inside of me, and I'm able to love God with all I got, and I'm able to love people all the time. That's what I set out to do. My love will destroy the strongholds of the enemy. And so the very thing, here's what's interesting about that. The very stronghold that you've had on your life, the illness, the sickness, the addiction, the bad habit, the pain, the anxiety, the stress, I'll keep going, the fear, The very thing that you're like, if I could get rid of one thing, this is what it would be. And you've been maybe even praying, and you've been seeking people to pray for you. Could it be that the capacity or lack of capacity of your love is directly linked to that stronghold? And you're not using the love you have to declare freedom over it. And you declare freedom over it by speaking freedom over it. You declare freedom over it by living freedom over it. You've been praying, God, would you set me free in this area? And then we've been turning and we've been not acting in love. Walking in disobedience, either on purpose or accident. Walking in disobedience and expecting freedom is no rational thought at all. What did Jesus continually say in different versions of people that he would set free, he would heal? He would say, go and sin no more. He knew we were wicked. He knows all things about men. He's the creator. He's not talking about never messing up or never having to sin again. He's talking about the intention of the heart. And when our heart is to love, how can it be to sin? Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Everything you've been waiting to break free from could be withheld in your capacity to love. And as soon as you begin to let the love of God that he has poured into you begin to pour out of you in a real way. Yeah, I said you begin to let. As soon as we begin to let that happen, it's not God that's stopping love from pouring out of you. I promise you that. Breakthrough begins to happen. Lives get changed. Needs get met. So here's the declaration. God, I love you with all I got. People, I love you all the time. Enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. Who needs to declare that over their life? The declaration, enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. That's right. Who else needs to declare that over their life? Amen. Yes. Who else? Amen. Let's all say it together. Enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. Things that he's trying to do in your life. Here's the thing. If in Ephesians chapter 6, if he can get in and wrestle in heavenly places, do not for one minute think he cannot get into your house because you got the door locked. He will come in there, and he will stir things up, and he will stir up strife. And the moment you begin to see strife, you need to call it for what it is. It is nothing other than not acting in love. And when we don't act in love, it invites the enemy in. And so what do we have to do? Say, enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. Okay, how can I start putting that into action? How can I start loving the people around me? How can I start serving them? This is what we're called to do. So you got three declarations you can take with you this week. Three powerful things that every situation, whatever it is, whatever bridge you're crossing, you can declare one of these things and continue to walk in the freedom that God has given you. This love that is from Jesus Christ, the love that is pure, that we sing about, that is pure. That the King above all kings, that has infinite wisdom, and not just infinite wisdom, the only source of wisdom, pours out to us that love. And what are the odds that the world we live in, that the streets you drive on, that the schools you go to and take your kids to, the grocery stores you shop in, your place of work where you sit down or stand, if you got one of those cool desks, all of those places you interact with people that are saying, I want what you got. I want the love that you have. The steadfast love, the never-ending love, the love that brings peace and joy. I want that. The love that brings peace that surpasses all situation and understanding. I need that so bad. I'm hungry for that. Would you show me how to do that? That's what their hearts are crying out to, and they're trying to fill it in every different way they can. And you, we have what it is. God, I love you with all I got. People, I love you all the time. Enemy, my love destroys your strongholds. Declare it over your life. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for your word. I just pray that you would draw us to it, just like it says in James, that as we draw near to you, you would draw near to us. Let us be in your presence this week. I pray specifically over the ones that declared out loud. Would you let our eyes be opened up to see it in action this week, that when we declare it, when we say it, when we get in that tough spot, and when we begin to declare it over our life, we begin to see you work, Lord God. I know we don't always see you work. I know so many times we wait to see your goodness. We know it's coming regardless because your promises never fail. But this week, Lord God, would you open up our eyes just a little bit and let us begin to see your work through this, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.